Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And this week, we're going to be chatting a little bit more about Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince, but it's also the end of the year. This will be our last episode of 2023. Yeah.
Which is so weird. Like, this year, I don't even know where this year went. Like, I really cannot believe it's past Christmas already.
It went by really quick.
I know everybody says that every year, but like really, time has really gotten away from me this year. I thought there was an extra week before Christmas. Like Jennifer and I were talking and we're like, no, it's this weekend. And I'm like, oh my God, I really thought there was another week between then and now. It's like actually has like, I've gotten off calendar this year.
Yeah. So before we talk about DQ Monsters, usually at the end of the end of the year, we always talk about like our favorite games that we played throughout the year, whether they actually came out this year or not. Like I know we talked about game of the year stuff for Game Awards like a few weeks ago, but that was like only games that came out this year because that's how the Game Awards work, but that's not how you and I work. So
generally no.
so what's some of your favorite games that you played this year other than Baldur's Gate 3? Obviously it's Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, it's so good. Like y'all, like just again, it's so good. More than anything, I've played D&D. I mean, the tabletop game, like doing it a couple of times this year. Like you and I have been playing Pirate Borg over the last few weeks with our group, and I have so enjoyed Pirate Borg.
It's really
that,
good.
That really is. It's so much fun. It's so ridiculous. And I think it was the last session that we had gotten to play before Christmas where you were like, I love how this is a pirate-themed game, but we've turned it into like a redneck, I don't remember what the term is.
Redneck Borg.
Like just a redneck Borg. Yeah, it was just like we just went all in on it. It was great. I would love to have a redneck Borg after that. Like maybe we need to write that. Maybe we need to make Etheridge Borg. But really, Pirate Borg has been really fantastic this year. And earlier, I had gone, and I'm thinking this was this year. I don't think it was last, where I modded my 3DS and played a ton of like Fire Emblem games. I'm pretty sure that was earlier this year. But I played a crap ton of like retro games and probably Fire Emblem Engage and Fire Emblem Revelations. I've already lost the name of the Awakening was one of my favorite games this year. Like it was, I just got really into strategy games, which is where Baldur's Gate really scratched that itch as well. But it got me to play Dragon Quest Monsters, the fan translation of the 3DS games that I didn't actually know existed. I was really surprised when I was looking around for cool 3DS games. Searching and being able to play like international games, that there was a Dragon Quest Monsters, Terry's Wonderland that was done completely in 3D, that was completely remade, that never made it into the US, that has a fan translation. And I was super shocked that I had no idea it was there. And it's really, really good. And honestly, it plays a whole bunch like DQ Monsters 3. For the Switch, the Dark Prince for the Switch, that it's It's very good, and once I finish up this one, I'm really, really tempted to go and work through it again, get even further in it, because it's very, very good.
Yeah, you should.
But yeah, so I played a lot of stuff like that, where I was going back to older games, and specifically older Fire Emblem games. Really enjoyed those on the DS and GBA. I think it was the Burning Blade, maybe, I played a lot of on the DS and GBA, and that one was a lot of fun. What about you? What have you played? Like, you play a ton more games than I do. Like, your PlayStation recap specifically, like, you had an absolutely nuts amount of obviously RPGs, but just everything on there. What have you done this year that may not have even come out this year?
I guess to touch on the highlights, because as you say, I do play quite a few video games. But like, I guess probably my favorites have been Dragon Quest Monsters, obviously. I'm still playing Dark Prince in post-game.
It's so good.
Trying to 100% the Monsterpedia. More on that in a minute. But that one, I had fun playing. Sea of Stars was earlier in the fall. Mm. And I really liked it. I don't think I liked it as much as everybody else, because honestly, I think Chained Echoes was better, and kind of, they're very similar. Not just that they were indie like RPGs trying to like revive a like bygone era, but just similar things that they did. And I just thought Chained Echoes was a lot better. So I think that's why maybe I didn't like Sea of Stars as much as a lot of people did, but I still really enjoyed it. Final Fantasy 16 is another big
so
one.
So good, yeah.
That I really enjoyed this year. This kind of been FF16 summer was kind of like, you know, because I platinumed it and everything like that. I've not gone and done the first wave of DLC that is out now, because I'm really bad about DLC. Like, once a game comes out, the DLC, I'm really bad about coming back to it. But really liked that one. Ratchet and Clank, honestly.
Oh yeah, that was this year.
Rift Apart. Yeah, it didn't come out this year, but I played it back in like August, and I just had like stupid amounts of fun with it. Like,
it's so much fun.
I think Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart might have been the most fun I had playing a game this year, which is weird because it's not an RPG, and I mean, I do love RPGs, and so many good ones.
But
came
it is
out.
Just fun to play.
Yeah.
Like, that one is just straight up fun to play, so I totally understand. Like, when it took me completely by surprise on just how good it was. Like, I expected it to be fun from what I had heard, but I didn't expect it to completely just pull me in, and like, I didn't want to do anything else because it was so much fun.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good, and honestly, that may be it, like, in terms of just video games, like, talking about video games. I mean, I know, like you mentioned, you know, we play weekly D&D, and right now it's Pirate Borg, and very, very much in love with Pirate Borg. I mean, there were some games that I played that I enjoyed, like Trails to Azure, the remaster of that finally came out. That was back in, like, March. And I've played Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. That was at the beginning part of the year here, and then played through the DLC, but was kind of disappointed in it. Disappointed in Tears of the Kingdom. I mean, I played a lot of games, but like, didn't like most of them. I don't know. Maybe I played too many of them. I don't know. But I was kind of let down by a lot of games this year, but still had a lot of fun with FF16, Ratchet and Clank, and now Dragon Quest Monsters. Like, it's still been a good year for video games, even though I haven't. I got re-obsessed with Tony Hawk. I think that was this year when I went back and booted up my PS2 and like played through American Wasteland and all that. I'm pretty sure that was at the beginning of this year. Yeah. Like, I went back and played through a lot of my old PS2 games. Like, that was fun. For sure.
It was really funny. Earlier this year, I went and played a lot more of the remakes that they did on PS4. And I remember sitting there playing that one and Riley, my nephew, coming in and being like, "Why are you playing this? Why are you playing a skateboard game?" And I'm like, "Because it's awesome. Have you heard the music?" And it was so, it's just, those games are so good.
They're a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's nostalgia, yes, but also they're genuinely well-made games.
Yeah, I totally agree. Kind of segueing into DQ Monsters now, because I did want to mention, so last week we were talking about how I was trying to 100% the Monsterpedia, but I didn't have time to look it up or anything. It actually doesn't tell you. In my head, I thought it told you how many, like what percentage you had actually like filled out versus how many you had actually scouted, but it's just how many you've scouted. So there's no way for me to get an exact percentage unless I calculate it all myself. And there's like,
oh no.
Yeah. There's like 22 pages, like 500 monsters, for me to calculate. I do know I'm missing some. Did want to give a shout out to Liam Higgins for sharing some things, over at the, with the Dragon Quest FM account on Twitter, about egg hatching and the ones that are the only way to get them is when they hatch eggs. I actually have most of them, so I guess my luck with eggs has been better than I thought. There's still a few that I'm missing, and I know there's a couple of seasonal monsters that I'm missing, but overall I think the ones that I'm really that I just have to fill out now are like the S rank, X rank monsters, like the really hard to get ones.
Yeah, the super hard ones that you have to go through entire chains of grandparents and parents and very specifically to get, right?
Yeah, so I don't have an exact estimate for how many I'm missing from just actually like having their photo in the Monsterpedia.
Mm-hmm.
I would safely assume that I'm beyond the 90% mark. Like, I'm not missing just a ton of them at this point. And then for scouted right now, it's actually a lot lower than I thought it would be. It says I've only scouted something like 61% of monsters.
Oh, wow.
A lot of them shouldn't be too hard to get because a lot of them are actually like the G and F rank monsters, because I was at that point in the game, like, I mean, there's a lot of G and F monsters, like even in the upper echelons, like you still can run into some G rank monsters. And I think it was just one of those things where it was like, you know, you see G and F rank monsters and it's like, I don't need that. And so I really, somewhere around in there, I really stopped trying to catch them all and everything. And so I think that was probably part of it, because just looking through, because, you know, they have a little check mark by the ones you've scouted. And I was looking through and there's like a ton of them that I just have not scouted, except for the slime family. I got really obsessed with slimes and then realized I needed to quit it.
Well, of course.
Because a lot of the unique monsters that I was needing to get didn't need slimes, slime types. And so I was like, okay, Austin, you got to stay away from the slime families because you're like synthesizing.
Aww.
Like, seriously, there was a point in the game, probably somewhere around the halfway point for me, where I realized that, like, oh my gosh, I'm just synthesizing a little slime army. Like, I got to get away. I need variety or else I'm just going to be stuck.
Right.
And so I kind of had to make myself. But in terms of slimes, like, I have a lot of them, missing some of the, like, metal ones, you know, like the metal slime enemies.
I have not run into a single metal slime. That was one of the things I wanted to talk to you today about, was figuring out where in the world you start seeing metal slimes, because I have not noticed a single one anywhere I've gone.
So I have a spiel for you on that.
Okay. All right.
I do not know what the like spawn rates or whatever of metal slime monsters are, but I had abysmal luck. Like, I've seen several people online who are showing off like their metal slime encounters and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I had abysmal luck. So I actually made it through everything until it's the upper echelon of the Circle of Fortitude, which that's the one, I couldn't remember its name last week, but the one that I said looks like Midgar from Final Fantasy VII. That's like a junkyard.
Hate it.
I don't like, that's my least favorite circle. Yeah, for sure. But anyway, the upper echelon of the Circle of Fortitude, which anybody playing the game, like that's pretty late in the game, especially like if you go by, like, you know, when you're going through Travel Light, if you go in order of like how many like stars it has, it's like monster heads.
Yeah. Yep.
If you're going in order, because they do open up and you can kind of at some points you can tackle them in any order. But if you're going purely in order, this one's like, I guess if you're going in order, this is probably the third or fourth one you would get to in the upper echelons if you're going by that kind of star ranking. So it is later in the game. I was there and I saw one king slime, metal king slime.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever run into a metal monster. It's also frustrating because that's where the cyborg slimes appear in the wild. And from the back, they kind of look like metal monsters. Yep. And so I was tricked many a time in that upper echelon because I was running into cyborg slimes and thinking they were metal slime monsters, and they weren't. And then the big king slime, it was only one. Like a lot of times in Dragon Quest games, you know, you run in and like that might be the one in the overworld, but then there's like a couple of metal slimes or like a slime or like a bubble slime kind of thing with them. But no, this was just, it was the metal king slime and two cyborg slimes was all it was. And the king ran away from me after, I managed to hit it twice, but it never took enough health off of it to kill it. And of course, on its first turn, it fleed. And I was just like, well, that was a disappointment.
Yeah, that's sad. That's,
I mean, I've gotten things like, you know, you can get the metal slime cards from as rewards for in the Colosseum and Molosseum.
Okay.
I think that starts at like rank C fights maybe. And so like there were times like that, like I would use those on monsters to level them up quickly. Like I got Crystal Linda.
Right.
From DQ11 as an A rank, and I wanted her to level up quickly, so I took her to like an upper echelon. And she hit like level 25, you know, pretty quickly. And then I was like, eh, I need you like level 40, but I don't necessarily feel like fighting things. So I just like dropped a bunch of like metal slime cards on her to get her up, which was
as
maybe
one does. Yeah.
Which was maybe foolish. But anyway, just to kind of get her to a more comfortable area for where I wanted her to be, because I wanted her in my party at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the metal slime monsters in this game seem extremely rare, even by metal slime monster standards. Like I almost went through the entire game without.
Yeah, me not seeing any so far has actually surprised me. I figured that I would have at least seen a regular metal slime somewhere by this point. That I'm about halfway through the middle echelons and have not seen anything. Even like in the distance being able to look like a metal slime. So I'm glad to know that I haven't just overlooked them.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe I did too. Maybe sucks. Maybe you did overlook them and I have overlooked them too.
Maybe so.
Because they were kind of tough to find. So where, we haven't actually, other than just like casually talking about playing it and stuff, we haven't talked since last week about you playing it. So where, you've progressed pretty steadily from where you were last time. You're like in the middle echelons and stuff now, right?
Yeah, I'm in the middle echelons now. I have beaten Ludo.
Okay.
Found out the story, spoilers from there, and what was going on, and moved into, I want to say, either the second or third area of the middle echelons. I decided I had to do the stupid Circle of Fortitude where it was the factory and all of that, because that's the first one that opens up. But after that, I know I went into, I don't remember if I did another one before this, if I did the Circle of Conquest, and then I went to the Circle of Temper, I believe, the fire one, and ended up just beating it before I put it down yesterday. But went through all of it with Fuego, the Spanish speaking flamethrower who joins you, and you fight the big dragon from the Brimstone Boys.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that a lot. Like, I'm really enjoying going through the like little small stories in the game, the little individual towns having their thing and you getting the characters. But I'm pulling an Austin on these where I want to explore the entire map before moving on, and I want to see like as much of the map as I can in the seasons that just kind of happen as I go through. So I explore a lot and recruit and scout a lot, but not like, that's not what I'm like, I'm not farming for scouting. I'm just exploring and trying to unlock all of the map before I move into the kind of unlock the zoom locations and then move on.
Yeah,
so that I can come back and go around however I want. And so I have a really bad habit of going through the zone, exploring, making sure that I take all of the paths, find where I'm going in it, and then once I've unlocked all of the zoom points and I've scouted, you know, what monsters I've just scouted as I fought and they attack me, I'll then go back to the Rosehill Tower and synthesize all of them and then move back forward where they'll level up to 10 really like in a battle or two as I go through the dungeon and then move forward that way. But it takes time. But that's my kind of pattern on these, where I'm not actively synthesizing an army or anything, but I'm going through getting as many of them as I can, going back and synthesizing and trying to get the gold monsters. That's my thing, is I always try to, from the ones that I can scout as I go through the areas, just try to get the ones that have the gold background because they're better, apparently. I haven't paid very close attention to stats and abilities, though. Like, that's my big problem right now, and I know I'll pay more attention as I get higher echelons or higher ranks. Once I get beyond like D and C, it'll matter more because I'm still just synthesizing them after a while.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about stats and which special like leveled abilities. I can't remember what they're called. They're not talents. They're the other ones that unlock at different levels, like the 10, 20, and 40 or something like that. I haven't really been paying attention to any of those because I don't level up my monsters most of the time before synthesizing them.
I don't know. It's hard to say, but I feel like generally, like if you don't want to have to worry about that stuff, you can kind of not, as long as you're...
Yeah.
Because the game gives you monsters at certain times when you need it. Like Fuego, you know, there, that was a C-rank monster when you're running around with D-rank enemies. And so it's like the game, I think, does a pretty decent job of that overall. And then, like, in the lower echelons, you know, there was typically a monster village and you could trade, you could send the monster with their monster to get a better one.
Right.
And so I think that it's one of those things where it's like you can get really deep with it if you want to, but also I think it does a pretty decent job of, like, as long as you just kind of do the standard, like the RPG equivalent of putting on pants in the morning, like you can kind of get through it, I think. But really, I mean, you don't have to put on a whole tux and like do your hair and all that kind of stuff. Like you can just put on pants and get through the main story for the most part.
Yeah, there's not been anything... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, there's some tough fights. Like, I think the upper echelon is really where the difficulty curve really increases. You're pretty close to there right now, and that's where... Like, where you are right now is actually my favorite part of the game, I think. I mean, I'm enjoying...
Oh, really?
Like, the story, yeah. Like, I mean, I'm enjoying post-game fine, but, like, the story part, like, if you finish once you hit the credits, once you see the fin or whatever... if you just stop right there, I think the middle echelons are my favorite. I really liked the stories that were happening in those. I really liked I got a much stronger team, but I really loved the team that I had at that point in the game. Like, I felt just like it was a good variety and everybody was really overpowered. The level designs and the dungeon designs and everything felt pretty solid. And I really liked them. Like, I know last week I was talking about getting stuck in like Shifting Sands and things like that, but.
Right.
But now that we're kind of moving further into the game now, like, it is, I think for me, it's like the lower echelons are fun, but they're all just kind of like a quick crash course introduction into each of these zones. They're pretty basic and straightforward and things like that. And then the upper echelons, it's like the dungeons in the upper echelons overall suck. Like, no spoilers, but the dungeons just suck. There's quite a few of them that I was just like, there. We'll talk about this in the next time because I want you to get there so that you can kind of rant with me here. But the upper echelons were some of my least favorite content in the game overall. And again, it made it worse because at the time that I was playing it, there weren't a whole lot of videos out yet and there were like no guides or anything. So it wasn't like I could just look up solutions.
Yeah, of course.
Or anything. And anyway, the middle echelon portions, the stuff that you're at right now, I think is easily my favorite parts of the story. I liked what was going on with the main story at that point. I liked what was happening everywhere else. And then like with the upper echelons, I don't know how to say it. Like DQ Monsters 3 is a very good game.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yes.
Just like Dragon Quest Builders 2 is a very good game, but both of them to me, quite a few Dragon Quest spinoffs feel this way to me. It's like they feel a little bit, like it feels like they overstay their welcome. Like by the time you get to the moon in Builders 2 or whatever, when you're in outer space and all that, like it was just kind of like, okay, this feels like there's one too much. Like somewhere along the way, it was trend. That's kind of how I started feeling with DQ Monsters there at the very end, where I was like, okay, like I see what's happening here. There had been a lot of big story beats, no spoilers, but big story beats and like Dragon Quest IV connections and things like that that happened already, where I was like, heck yeah, you know, I'm ready. And then, and then you have to play through another like 6 hours of the game. And it's not just a Dragon Quest problem. There's quite a few RPGs that I feel like I love the Trails games, and I feel that way about them, where every Trails game feels like it should have ended just slightly before it did.
Yeah, I can see that.
Maybe that's just, I mean, every movie we watch now, I'm like, it would be better if it was like 20 minutes shorter. So maybe it's just that, like, I'm just not content with anything. Or maybe it's that everything is just too bloated and overly long nowadays. I don't know.
I think it is. Jennifer and I have talked about that, too. She actually went and showed me, we were talking about this the other day. It was probably a week or two ago. And we were talking about just how movies need to be shorter. And that movies nowadays are very indulgent. And I feel like video games are this way as well. And part of it is because to justify the budget, I believe. But she went and showed me an SNL skit that was short-ass movies.
Uh-huh.
And it was a song they made about how great 90-minute movies are. That sometimes you just want to sit down and watch a short-ass movie. And it was hilarious. And it's because it was exactly how we felt. We just wanted something fast that we could watch, something whole and fast, and so many things like video games like this, like having that extra level or having just those extra few areas that you need to go through after it hits a story beat. It feels like it's super indulgent to the point where it's just them doing it because they can. Not for the betterment of the narrative or the experience for the viewer or player. And so, yeah, I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I wouldn't, I don't necessarily feel that, I don't necessarily feel that DQ Monsters or even, like, any of the games I just mentioned are overindulgent necessarily the way I would, like, watching, like, the superhero movie or, like, even the the Barbie movie, which I enjoyed. I was just like, dang, this needed like 30 minutes trimmed off of it somewhere at some point.
Oh, I don't know. See, I love it. I thought it was right about there. I mean, it could. I agree. I could see how it definitely has points where you could. But I thought it worked being where it was. But there are a few we've seen this year who have been like, 25 minutes too long.
Yeah.
It's like, just figure out how to tighten it up. It's not even that something needed to be cut. It just needed to be tightened. And I think that a lot of video games are that way, too. Final Fantasy 16 feels that way a great deal. And it's probably because I do a lot of the side quests, though. That's doing all of that, I think, makes it feel a little bit too long, which is why I haven't gone back to it. Where when I do go back to beat it, I'm probably going to power through the main story, kind of like you did with the Final Fantasy mode.
Yeah, because if you just do the story, it's actually really quick. Like, I think I got, skipping cutscenes, I got through Final Fantasy mode that you unlock after beating the game. I went through that in like, I don't know, 10 hours, I think. I don't know. There's an episode we recorded early in the year where I was more accurate about it, but I think it took like 10
hours. I remember
it
being relatively short for
that. It's quick, yeah. I mean,
which surprised me again.
And that was also with forging the new Ultima weapon and everything that you can get in Final Fantasy mode just for funsies. So, I mean, there was side quests and hunts that I did that I didn't have to do that I did just to get the best weapon in the whole game. So there was stuff like that too that took up time, but yeah, either way, I mean, I really liked the story of DQ Monsters, and I'm eager to see what you think of the upper echelons, because generally the right. upper echelons were my least favorite parts of the game. Not necessarily the zones, but like the actual like dungeon parts of them were pretty bad. So everybody can just consider that a teaser for next week or whenever, because we'll talk about it more then. But yeah. Also, Happy New Year, everybody. This is our last episode of the year. So Happy New Year. And
crazy.
It is crazy. But we'll be back in 2026. Why did I say that? We'll be back in 2024 for season 6 very soon.
Yes, we'll be talking
about our usual Dragon Quest stuff and also more on DQ Monsters, because there's quite a bit we still want to stay on it because of how much we've played it and enjoyed it so far. Remember, if you want to talk to us personally, you can find us at Dragon Quest FM on Twitter, patreon.com/DragonQuestFM, social at DragonQuest.fm if you want to email. Huge shout out to all of our patrons who supported us this year. Really appreciate you guys. If you want to talk to me individually, I am on Twitter and Blue Sky at DragonQuestin.
And if you want to talk to me individually, I am on Twitter and Threads at Professor Beej. And I forget about Blue Sky. I'm there at BJ Keaton. I think I have notifications, so say hi. But yeah, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM, and we truly appreciate every one of y'all. You make it worth doing.
For sure. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.